Let's continue to learn the book of 1 John. Let's turn to the book of 1 John, chapter 2, verse 1. 1 John, chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. The second time in 1 John talk about, I write this thing to you. For what purpose? That you may not sin. So as the children of God, we have to set a goal. And the goal is commit no sin after our baptism. And how come it's so important that we commit no sin? The reason is God is holy. So in the Old Testament, God said, you must be holy, for I am holy. Holy means separation. Holy means no sin. So if we want to approach God, to build a good relationship with God, we should have no sin. Because God had no sin. And sin will block our relation with God. And sin is a silent killer of our spirituality. Now, what is sin? This is what we have to think about. What is sin? Let's turn to can you find it? In 1 John, there's one verse define what is sin. One verse define what is sin in the 1 John. Yeah. You find it? Chapter 3, verse 4. Can we read aloud together? Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. So what is sin? Sin means we do something against the law. And what is the law? Again, the teaching, the words of God. Now, let's turn to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 10. 1 John chapter 1, verse 10. If we say that we have not sin, we make him a liar, and his words is not in us. You know, most of the people, if you ask the school, your classmate, right? Nobody feel I have sin. Why? Because in the world, everything is relative. Nothing is absolute. What is culture? Culture it's a consensus of the society. If everyone feels it's right, majority feel is right, then it's become right. Then we become minority, sometimes we are wrong. For example, homosexual, 20 years ago, it definitely is wrong. Everybody feel very shameful about homosexual. But right now, homosexual not only legalized. If you say homosexual is sin, then you become shame about yourself, something like that. So this is culture. The culture is changing. According to Ephesians chapter 2, the one who behind the culture is Satan. You know? Satan controls the culture. So in this culture, we feel that as long as I am the same with everybody, nothing wrong with me. So in this culture, we will never feel sin because we are identical with everybody. But the Bible says, if I have say I have no sin, we make him a liar. We make God as a liar. How come? Because God say everybody sin. And how come everybody sin? Next one. His words is not in us. Because the words of God is truth. It's settled in heaven forever. Settled in heaven, Psalm 119, 89. In heaven means unlimited space. Every corner in the universe, God's word settled there. Means God's word is valid. It's effective there. So you commit sin in this world. This sin, when one day you go to the moon, is still sin. Not because in the world is sin, in the moon is not sin, because the words of God settle there. And forever. Forever means unlimited timing in the human history. From everlasting before to the everlasting future. When there is a sin, there is sin. It will never change. Because the words of God never change. So the standard not inside us, so we don't feel have sin. We have sin. When the standard go in to measure us from inside to outside, from our thinking, from our motivation, to the words we speak, to the behavior, and to the way we live our life, the words of God will measure every single part of our life. And also the words of God is light. When the light shines into our heart, all of a sudden we can see ourselves very clear. In the standard of God, everyone has sin. If we say, I have no sin, and God is a liar, and the truth is not in us, then how are we going to deal with the sin? That's chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, we look into chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, this thing I write to you, you may not sin. verse 2. And he himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not for our sin only, but also for the whole world. You talk about Jesus is a mediator. He's a redeemer, and he paid high price to redeem us out of sin, and that high price is his blood, and blood is life. So Jesus Christ paid his life as a ransom for our sin. So today, through the blood of Jesus Christ in the water baptism, all our sin can be forgiven. Then we come to the next question. Then after I receive the baptism, if I sin, what should I do? You still remember, there was a brother, I think 5 or 6 years ago, during the time of NYTS, he prayed very hard, and Holy Spirit moved him to give a testimony. And this is the first time I had ever heard about the testimony regarding the sin he had committed. Do you remember his testimony? Oh. And he was talking about Ten Commandments. Oh. We thought that Ten Commandments were very easy to observe, but according to his testimony, we offend Ten Commandments every day. First commandment, worship only one God. Did you worship it? Right? The second commandment, no idol. Are you sure you have no idol? The third commandment, do not call the name of God in vain. Are you sure we glorify the name of God? The fourth commandment, keep the Sabbath. Right? Are you sure we really keep the Sabbath? The fifth commandment, honor your parents. Are you sure we honor the parents? All right. I think nowadays it's a parent honors the children. The parents are so afraid that the children get angry. So the parent was so submissive to the children, right? Honor your parent. The sixth commandment, no murder. Abortion is more murder, right? You take away the life given by God. And Jesus Christ elevates the standard. If you hate, you already kill in your heart, right? Then the standard quite high. Seven commandment. Not nobody, or most of them cannot stand in the seven commandment, including the Christianity, Christian. So most of the mainstream denomination right now, they don't talk about the seven commandment. They dare not to talk about, and they don't want to talk about. So-called the mega church. Don't look at 10,000 people, 100,000 people. They take no stance on sin. You ask them homosexual, they don't want to talk about that. You ask them you're pro-life or pro-choice, they have no stance, right? Oh, they don't want to take a stand. You ask them about divorce and remarry, no stance. Why? Because once they take on stance, they will condemn some people. And some people feel guilty. They are not going to come anymore. Oh. Also, the seventh commandment is so serious that I think only TJC and besides a few of Christians really observe it. Otherwise, most of people don't observe it. No fornication, no cohabitation, no divorce and marriage, no affair outside the marriage. Can you think about who can stand it nowadays? But Jesus Christ increased the standard. If you see the opposite sex with the last four thought, you already have sexual immorality in your heart. You know, nowadays, if you take away violence and sex from movie, who is going to watch it? And the reason, how come so many people like to watch it? Once your heart stops being aroused, then in the eyes of God, you have sinned. The eighth commandment, do not steal. What does it mean, do not steal? If you look into a children's Bible, right? Do not take whatever is not yours. Oh, then you are very clear, right? Whatever is not yours. Look into your drawer, look in your kitchen, look into your apartment. Anything not yours, then you commit the eighth commandment, right? Ninth commandment, do not lie. Especially what? Bear false testimony against others. Right? If anybody say, I never lie, he already lie. Right? So we commit sin every day. So what can we do since we commit sin every day? And then chapter 1, verse 9, which I read, apply to after the baptism, what should we do? Right? It is not going to work if we try to hide our sin. Why? Because everything in the eyes of God is transparent. Do you know? You can use a password to protect your email. Right now, you can have what? Double security, right? But what is inside your email is transparent to God, right? You close the door You start to watch whatever you want to watch. But you know, God is so powerful recorder. Oh, right. Can you imagine? In your living room, there is a webcam. Your parent is monitoring you. Then I think you will behave so differently. All right. And sometimes we forget God is monitoring us every day, every moment, everywhere, any corner, right? Also, what can we do? There is no way we can hide the sin, right? One of the brothers, when he received Holy Spirit, he was so touched by Holy Spirit, he prayed so hard. All of a sudden, he dared not to pray. Why? He said, oh, I feel so hard. I start to repent. I feel that if I keep on praying, proper Holy Spirit will speak out all the sin I committed. Oh, so he dared not to pray anymore. Oh, right? Oh, the Holy Spirit will reveal the sin you committed. Oh. So what can we do if we really have sin? The only one way, the most effective way, is to come before God and tell God without reservation everything we committed. Of course, before you admit your sin, God already knows it. But what God really wants is confession, repentance. That's what God wants. Oh. So God loves us so much, once we admit our sin and ask for forgiveness in that right moment, the grace of forgiving the sin will be still available for us. But don't use that as a excuse to commit sins, right? Oh. You know, 50 years ago, in Africa, if you get malaria, it's almost a death sentence, right? But right now, the Africa people, they have a malaria, they don't feel it's anything. Why? Because when the medicine comes, then malaria gone. Oh, so some of the Christians, they say, don't worry. Oh, when you commit sin, don't forget to come back and repent. Hey, one of the pastors preached in this way. Do you like it? No. The pastor did not say, don't commit sin. The pastor say, if you commit sin, don't forget to come back and repent. Which means, you can do it, but don't forget to repent. Oh, that's abuse God's grace. Oh, we cannot do that. Okay. Now, even though God will forgive our sin, but according to 1 John, sin can be categorized into two kinds. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 16 and 17. 1 John chapter 5, verse 16. If anyone see his brother sinning, a sin which does not lead to death, and he will ask, and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. And there is sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. Look, 1 John chapter 4 talk about God is the love, right? We have to love each other. Right? But 1 John chapter 5 talk about there are two kinds of sin. One is a sin lead to death. Even John has so much love. But he say, if anyone commits sin lead to death, I do not say that he should pray about that. That means lead to death is dead. Oh, then in no way you can pray for forgiveness. But there is the sin which is not lead to death. If the sin not lead to death, what should we do? He will ask, and God will give him life to those who commit sin not lead to death. So if the person really asks for forgiveness, and God will forgive that sin. But the next question is, will come out. And then, how to define the sin lead to death? The Bible did not clearly say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and this is a sin, lead to death. We have to look into the Bible from different verses and put the different verses to picture the definition of so-called mortal sin. The first, what kind of people will be cast into the lake of fire? Can you find it? Well, the Bible say the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 21. Let's go for it. Verse 8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderer, sexually immoral, sorcerer, idolater, and old liar shall have their part in the lake which burn with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What is the first death? When the soul departs from the body, is the first death. Are you scared of death? Yes, everybody is scared of death. But from the spiritual definition, the first death is nothing. Only the true I come out from your body. That's all. Just like you leave home and go back to the campus. That's all. It's nothing terrible. The more terrible is second death. And second death, your soul been put into lake of fire. When we think about that, it means after burning and you die there. No, the second death will never die. Right? You are still alive in the lake of fire forever. That's called second death. So second death, you will never die there. Okay. So who is going to experience the second death? Then here spell out some kind of sin. Right? Coward. If we are under persecution and we dare not to admit Jesus Christ is my Savior, then we are coward. And unbelieving. If we have opportunity to believe in Jesus, we refuse to believe. Right? And then the next one, abominable. It's more difficult to explain. Murderer is understandable. Even the non-believer, they will not murder people, right? How much more sin if we believe in Jesus, we know the teaching, and we murder. And then next one, sexual immoral. Even a lot of people know sexual immorality is not right. Sorcerer, which black magician, idolater, which worships the idol, and all the liar, especially we lie to harm other people. So this kind of sin will lead to death. But if we combine together with the book of Hebrew, Hebrew talk about the burning fire. Hebrew chapter 10. Hebrew chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 26. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer remain a sacrifice for sins. Right? We commit sin willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth. Right? After we understand the truth, we know the salvation, we know what is right and what is wrong. If we do it willfully, we know it's wrong, but I still want to do it willfully. But 27, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment, a fury of indignation which will devour the adversary. Verse 28. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law die without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. 29. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counting the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified at common things and insulted the Spirit of grace. For we know him who say, vengeance is mine, I will repay, say the Lord again. The Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hand of the living God. Of course, it's fearful to fall into the hand of Satan. But it's equally fearful, even more fearful, to fall into the hand of God. Right? Who will fall into the hand of God? Right? If we commit sin willfully. So, everybody, when you are going to die, there are only two things, the most important thing. What are the two most important things? When you are going to die, there are only two things most important. What are the two things? The first thing, right? You are almost give up the last breath. Who is coming? If the white garment is coming, thank God. If the black garment is coming, then woe to you. All right. Satan coming to greet you. Right. Whether I can be saved. This is the first thing we care the most. The second thing is the one we love, whether they can be saved. These are the two most important things when we are going to die. Right? What kind of school you study? Right? How much money you earn? How high position you reach? All become nothing. So, we know what is mortal sin, right? So, as a Christian, we should not walk in the borderline, right? Almost sin, but not little sin. In the borderline is very dangerous, right? Very dangerous. Keep a safe distance. More conservative is better than more liberal. Okay. Now, then how can we improve ourselves so one day I will not sin? Now we come back to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. Chapter 5, verse 18. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. But he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. Look, he who is born of God does not sin. So this is a secret. How should I do so that I will not sin? Very simple. He who is born of God will not sin. All right. But now, how do you explain what does it mean to be born of God? There's one verse talk about rebirth. Which verse? John chapter 3, verse 5. Right? Can you recite it? Truly, truly, I say to you, what is next? Unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So to be born of God actually talk about to be born of water and to be born of spirit. Right? And this kind of person will not sin. Now, you will say, okay, I have already been born of water. I already received Holy Spirit, but I still sin. So it seems the Bible is not true. My personal experience tells me even you receive Holy Spirit, you still sin. But let's examine John chapter 3, verse 5 carefully and interpret through Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Titus chapter 3, verse 5, we are saved not because of our good deeds, but through the mercy of God, right? By washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. So the first part, it takes only 2 minutes, right? It's totally the grace of God. You believe in Jesus Christ, and with the faith, we go into the water and bow our head to die with Jesus, full immersion to bury with Jesus, we come out, we resurrect with Jesus. We have the status of the Prince of God. This only takes 2 minutes. But how about renewal of the Holy Spirit? How long does it take? Renewal of the Holy Spirit, how long does it take? Whole life, right? We always ask a question, right? How long should we pray? Let me ask you one more time. 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 1 hour, every day. How long should we pray? You agree 15 minutes, raise your hand. Nobody. If you agree 30 minutes, raise your hand. Still nobody. If you agree 1 hour, raise your hand. Still nobody. Then how long should we pray? Nobody raise their hand. 2 hours? Oh. In the Bible, you can never find how long do we pray. The only example is Jesus prayed for a whole night. Right? That's the only example. But Bible gives us a goal. What is the goal? To be filled by the Holy Spirit. Anyone you feel you already been filled by the Holy Spirit, raise your hand. And nobody. That means you have to pray more. All right? And how do I know I'm filled by the Holy Spirit? Oh, my body trembling, right? Heavily, right? My tongue becomes speaking very loudly. Then I feel by the Holy Spirit? Yes, in a very short term or a very superficial definition, yes. But filled by the Holy Spirit, according to Galatians chapter 5, means we bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's called filled by the Holy Spirit. Oh, so how long should we pray? We have to continue to pray every day so that we can be filled by the Holy Spirit. So if we pray every day, probably 30 minutes, we can be filled by the Holy Spirit. But if we only pray once a week, how long? Probably very long, right? Oh, probably very long. Oh. So once we continue to be filled by the Holy Spirit, our life will be transformed. We will become the partaker of divine nature. You know, Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, and Spirit of God has the nature of God. So we continue to fill by the Holy Spirit, we will become the partaker of the divine nature. Once we are filled by the divine nature, then our sinful nature will be gone. When we reach to that kind of moment, you will not sin. Really. You go to Las Vegas, you don't know what to do. Why? Because you already lose desire. You sit before the TV. You just cannot sit there for 30 minutes, not even 10 minutes. Why? Because you look into that program, you just don't have that kind of desire. You feel a waste of time. Oh. You listen to that rock and roll right, music. Right? You feel so uncomfortable. Oh. You will never enjoy it. Never jump around even out of car, right? Why? Because you are filled by the Holy Spirit. So those who are born of God will never sin. It's true. The question is, we are not totally born yet. We have to strive forward and pray hard so we can be filled by the Holy Spirit. And sin cannot tempt it anymore. I met a brother in Africa, and the daughter sometimes come to Cerrito to attend the service. In 1980s, he converted to our church and received the Holy Spirit. Every day, he was a businessman. Every day, he prayed for 1 hour. And his wife just laughed at him. Oh, you pray so hard? Oh, so God will send down money from heaven. No. But he testified, after he prayed for 1 hour, live a holy life, it seems he himself become transparent. What does that mean? If there is an evil thought come into his heart, all of a sudden he can detect it because his conscience feels very uncomfortable. His conscience feels very guilty. And then he starts examining, oh, this thought is wrong. You know, when a people can detect the wrongful thought and get rid of that moment when you have a wrongful thought, you will never sin. No. So the book of James talk about the process of sin is like a woman, right? Conception. From conception to give birth. How long? You are not a woman. You don't know, right? 40 weeks. Even I'm not a woman, but my wife gave birth 3 children. Right? 40 weeks. So in that process, if you aborted the baby, right?
fetus, then you still cannot give birth of a child. Oh, so when the evil soul comes to the heart and you don't detect it and we don't get rid of it, the evil soul will gradually become you are plotting to have action, right? So nobody say I commit adultery by accident. It's impossible by accident, right? You commit adultery, you know, you start to supposed to love somebody and then you start to plan for it, and actually you do the use the action to do it. So those who are born of God will never sin. It's true. The words of God is true. So we pursue it, we will never sin. Yeah. So this is the second time I told this to you, so you will not sin. Now we look into the third one. Chapter 2, verse 26, 1 John, chapter 2, verse 26. This thing I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. So this thing I write to you, what is the purpose? You will not be deceived. What does that mean? You will not be deceived. Right? Verse 27. But the anointed which have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But the same anointing teach you concerning all things, and it's true, and it's not lie, and just as he has taught you, you will abide in him. So what does that mean? In the time of John, there was another theological idea, God is holy God, so it's impossible that God become human being. Oh. So it means that Jesus Christ, either he purely only man, a good man, or Jesus Christ is not God. And when people try to explain Jesus Christ, it's impossible to become God. It be impossible to be God because God is holy. It's impossible to become human being. Then we accept this kind of thinking, we are deceived. And our faith become not pure. Right? You know, our faith, a pure faith, is very important. How come? Let's look into one verse. Pure faith is very important. 2 Corinthians, chapter 11. 2 Corinthians, chapter 11. Verse 1. Oh, that I would bear with me a little fully, and indeed you do bear with me. Verse 2, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Verse 3, but I fear that somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your mind may be corrupted from the simplicity that in Christ. Verse 4. If he who come preach another Jesus, whom you have not preached, we have not preached, if you receive a different spirit which you did not receive, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. Here talk about godly jealousy. So what does that mean? When we receive the baptism, we betrothed to Jesus Christ. So we are waiting for the spiritual waiting days, the second coming of Jesus Christ. In that day, the most important is purity. Just like the time you get married, you can be pure. That will be the most important thing, right? When you are in the birthday, somebody give you a gift. And after you unwrap it, you find out it's a used one. Then you are very disappointed. Right? So keep ourselves pure. It's very important. It's very important. And then spiritually, what does that purity means? Spiritually, purity means we hold on the sound doctrine. So here talk about three, another. Another Jesus, another Spirit, and then what? Another gospel. Since it's another means two. Since it's two means one is true, one is false. So we have 10 articles of faith, and this is, have been thoroughly examined, have been tested. If anyone preach another gospel, different from the 10 articles of faith, if anyone preach another Jesus, it's different from Jesus we believe. If anyone preach another spirit, which is different from the spirit we receive, and we accept that kind of teaching, we are deceived. Spiritually, we are not pure. Once we are not pure, we will arouse the jealousy of Christ. So this is called godly jealousy. So the reason John wrote the letter to them, because John was afraid that they might be deceived from different doctrine, from the false prophet. And where comes the Antichrist? Let's look back into 1 John chapter 2. Verse 18. Little children, it is last hour, as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. When we think about Antichrist, right? It must come from somewhere, right? Be careful. Look outside. Antichrist is coming. Lock your door, right? Put on your alarm. Subscribe security service. But you read more, right? Where did Antichrist come? Verse 19. And they went out from us. Antichrist is the group of people who went out from us. Originally, he's among us. And later on, he went out from us. Why they have to go out from us? You continue to read it. But they were not of us. Right? If they had been of us, they would have continued with us. Right? So we are supposed one group, one Jesus Christ, one doctrine, one Lord, one God, one church. So we are supposed to be one. So if anyone purposely separate from us, right, become second group, then be watchful. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. So the Antichrist actually is whom? It's a group of people come out of us and who don't subscribe the same belief. And this group of people will deceive us. So we have to be very cautious in the last days. Keep our faith in purity. So we can wait for the second coming of Jesus Christ and to have a wedding banquet with purity in the heavenly kingdom. So be watchful. Antichrist come out from us.